If you have your Bible, please turn with me over to Matthew chapter 2 and follow along as I read beginning at verse 1. Matthew 2 and 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here so that your word can speak to our hearts and to our lives. We have spent the last several weeks reminding ourselves from your word of the great gift of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We stand on this side of the stable, on this side of the house, on this side of the cross, on this side of the empty tomb. We know who he is, your Son, our Savior. But Father, we are studying the stories of those who, even as an infant, he revealed himself. Quickly there were those, yes, at the urging of angels, a star came to worship the baby. Thank you for these reminders of who he is. And thank you for the example of the men and women who early on recognized who he is and worship him accordingly. May our thoughts regularly be of worship when we think of the baby, the manger, the house, the seaside, the cross, the empty tomb, the one we worship. We've come today, Father, to hear from you. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We take our introduction from verses 1 and 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, just like the prophets said he would be, in the days of Herod. Now, we have to read a lot other than what we find in Scripture to know much about Herod, the king. He was not a good man. Great politician. Played the part well between Israel and Rome. Knew how to satisfy both politically and economically. And was wise enough to stay out of the religious practices of Israel in terms of controlling them. Remodeled, built a wonderful temple for them. Let's stay away from their religious practices. But he was a scoundrel. He was an evil man, a wicked man. At that time, as he ruled on behalf of Rome, wise men or magi came from the east to Jerusalem. Now, where did they come from? Now, the simple answer is we don't know for sure. But given what seems to be the timing and the way they are described and how they got there, tradition, and I think common sense says that these wise men, these magi, came from the area of Iran, Iraq, Persia. They were Persians from Babylon. Now, as soon as I say that, as soon as I jump to that conclusion, one name pops up, and one name shines a bright light over this whole story. Daniel. Remember him? A prophet. A young man who grew up in Jerusalem. Taken to Babylon as a teenager. But as a teenager, so committed to the one true God that he stood in defiance of the king and the rulers of Babylon and proved his value. And as a result, God used him greatly, not just through the rule of the Babylonians, but the Medes and the Persians as well. And God used him as a channel to reveal to Israel when the Messiah would come. Now, we have those writings. Is it possible that those writings were left in Babylon as well? For other intellectual researchers to find and read and understand? Possibly. They come, they arrive in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" Now, detail is left out. If you don't want to go here with me, that's fine, I understand. But traditionally, this caravan, if it began in Babylon, would have begun at least a year ago. This caravan that started in Babylon has made its way to Jerusalem. And normally, people of consequence, wealth, power, like these men, would have stopped at the main gate. Because that's where regularly anybody who was anybody got together. It's where the town council met. It's where you could get to see the mayor. It was where important decisions were made. It's where these men may have stopped and said, where is he? Where is who? Why? Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Where is he? They've been traveling for at least a year up across that great fertile crescent, which meant they had to take the long way around because you didn't want to go straight across the desert. And they know they're in the right place. They are confident that they are in the right place. We've seen his star. We followed the star. We've read the book. Okay. No, they didn't say that. I think that. We've read the book. Where is he? At this point, the story becomes a tale of two cities. First, Jerusalem. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Just think, King of the Jews, worship. But I'm Herod. Now, yes, he stands between Israel and Rome. Israel, in its purity, represents the one true God who is. Rome, on the other hand, represents a panoply of gods, a whole bunch, and, like rulers before them, have come to believe that the Caesar, the ruler, is also God. Now, if you're going to worship almost anything that moves, why not tell your people, I'm God too? Especially if you have the power to force them to worship you. Not a new idea, but one that was very popular in Rome. And of course, that would have leached out into the mind of men like Herod. And while he might not necessarily say you must worship him, but he's not going to turn it down either. And to think that there would be somebody else who will be king of the Jews, somebody else in his position, somebody else who already has some very powerful, influential people looking for him to worship him, that didn't sit well. Not at all. So, not only is Herod troubled, but all of Jerusalem with him? Okay, you know, right? Mama's not happy, nobody's happy. Pales in comparison to Herod's not happy, nobody's happy. And Herod not being happy, that was and the whole city knew it, starting at the main gate. When those guys came and said, where is the King of the Jews? We've come to worship him. All of those powerful people sitting around that power table are scared to death, wondering what will Herod do now. The whole city has heard. His caravan has come from the east. These powerful people, dressed finely, differently than the rest of us, they're looking for a king. And Herod's not it. What will he do? Herod does a very wise thing. Verse 4, gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. He asks the right question of the right people. Now, Herod is an Idumean. He's from Idumea. And so, again, a neighbor and understands a little bit of the history of Israel and her religion. And he's heard the word Messiah and all. So he's got a passing, like most good politicians would, he's got a passing understanding of the people that he's ruling. He doesn't have the answers, but he knows where to go. Okay, the question is Messiah. Okay, guys, where is he to be born? And he calls the chief priests, and chief priests are kind of like presidents. Once you're a chief priest, you're always a chief priest. Rather than referring to you as past president, they just refer to you as president. Rather than referring to you as a past chief priest, you're still a chief priest. With title, no power, but title, some influence. And so he gathers all of these people together and asks, where? And the answer is interesting. They immediately say, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what was written by the prophet Micah. They quote chapter 5, verse 2 of Micah. Bethlehem is where this baby will be born. How ironic. A Gentile who's being confronted by Persians, wondering where the king has been born, turns to the Jewish religious elite to ask them, where is this child supposed to be born? And they say immediately, oh, in Bethlehem. And nobody was expecting. Nobody believed it. They knew exactly where to find the answer to the question, but nobody was asking the question because nobody believed the answer. By this time, everybody is expecting Messiah, yes. But he will throw off the bonds of Rome and liberate us politically. They're not looking for a savior. They're not looking for a redeemer. They're not looking for a baby who would be born without virtue of a human father, so that he could be both God and man and die for the sins of the world, despite what all of the prophets said. They weren't looking for that. So while Herod had a passing surface knowledge of what the Jewish religion was all about, and he knew who to call to get the answers, the chief priests and the scribes, the religious lawyers of the day. And while they knew exactly where to go, they knew Micah 5 too, none of them believed it. None of them was looking there. None of them was expecting a baby. But Herod, being a good politician, verse 7, Herod secretly called the Magi, the wise men, over, and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. When was this child born? Now you have to kind of tuck that away to realize how significant that date is. You, most of you, if not all of you, know the rest of that story and how Herod will use that information. He wants to know when this baby was born Go and find him, verse 8, and when you've found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him. Truth? Go find him. Let me know where he is, and I will go get him. Herod's wearing his best politician hat for these very powerful men from the east. But he wants to use them for his own purposes. Does he believe this baby is the God-man? Absolutely not. Does he believe this baby is a threat to him? Apparently. Could be. Certainly not going to take any chances. And that brings us then to Bethlehem. Verse 9. And hearing the king, they went their way. And the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Now let's pause there. And I want to go someplace. I'm not sure you all want to go, but it helped me understand a little bit what might have been going on here. That phrase, they were very happy, exceedingly great joy when they got there. That light that they saw. These men were astronomers. I'm using that word very carefully. They were astronomers. They studied the sky. They were not astrologers. They didn't look at the movement of the stars and the planets to determine any kind of future. They just loved to look at creation and the stars and the planets and all that was around them. They were students of creation, astronomers. And two things came together for them. Their study of God's word, I think, and their study of the night sky. A new light, suddenly there. They put those two together and come to the conclusion, he's here. The one that Daniel prophesied would come, surely he has come, and surely that is his star. Now, I can't prove this either, but in Dr. Jeremiah's new book on angels, he suggests that might, because sometimes Scripture seems to be equating angels and stars, and that maybe that's what that was, an angel that God had placed there specifically to shine brightly so that these men could find their way. Okay. So they see the star, they've read the book, they're headed that way. They're following their GPS. But they did what I do sometimes. They got close, assumed that they knew where they were going, and turned the GPS off. Quit looking. Because there's no reason to think that that star stopped over Jerusalem. They made an assumption. Surely the king of the Jews would be born in Jerusalem. So we'll go there. They pulled in there. They asked their questions. They were wrong. This isn't where we're going. So they get out and start again, and there it is, and there it stopped, and that's why they were happy. They turned the GPS back on, and it got them right where they were going. They found the King of the Jews. They found Jesus. Into the house, and that's important. They didn't come to the stable. go back behind the inn like the shepherds did. By this time, and it could be a year or two later, Mary and Joseph and Jesus are still in Bethlehem. They're not still out in the barn. Remember, please. They're not in the barn. They're not in the stable because they couldn't afford to go anywhere else. They're there because there wasn't anywhere else. So as soon as the census was over, as soon as the crowds left, Joseph was able to find them suitable housing. Sometime later, these wise men, these magi from the east, come. They find him in the house. They find the child with Mary, his mother. They fell down to the ground and worshiped him. And then they gave their gifts. They gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gifts of great value. Gifts befitting the giver and the receiver. Men who clearly could give these kinds of gifts, and one who was truly worthy of them. Gifts that will become very practical, probably very quickly. Again, I think they're relying on their study of Daniel to realize who this is, who they've come to see, because clearly they knew who he was. They knew he was one to worship, and no one in the house is objecting. Verse 12 is our conclusion. Having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, by an angel, maybe. Remember how Joseph was enlightened as to how all of this would happen? Maybe. But somehow, these men who have been so attuned to God's word and to God's leading now realize that they've been given more instruction, new instruction. Don't go back and visit Herod. Don't let Herod know what you have learned. Instead, the Magi left for their own country by another way. And in my notes, I've simply written, because they knew who he was. Now, I must admit, I've put a lot on these men that Scripture doesn't. Could they have been Gentile pagans who God has simply used to provide the means that this young family is going to need in the days ahead? Sure. Absolutely. But there seems to be so much direction here. And the easiest source would have been those things left by Daniel. And others who were believers during that time, that they responded to that little bit of light that they were given so that they might have the opportunity to see and to worship the one true living God, who is not only Jesus, God's salvation, but also Emmanuel, God with us. I think their actions prove they knew who he was and responded appropriately. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. And Father, I pray that my imagination hasn't muddied up the simplicity of this story. These men came from a long way to find your Son, our Savior, Lord Jesus. And in finding him, worshiped him, and gave gifts of great value, for which this little family will be most thankful. Your Son, our Savior, must always be the focus of our worship. Not just at Christmas, not just at Easter, not just on Sundays, but he must always be the focus of our worship. We thank you, Father, for his finished work upon the cross, for that empty tomb that says, surely, he is who he says he is, your Son, our Savior.